a day that we can make choices. Today is the day of salvation. God's patience before wrapping up this world order is our opportunity for salvation. His patience, not his impatience, not his standing there tapping his foot and waiting impatiently, but his patient waiting. Patience like, I think there's a, well, there is a psalm, but like a weaned child at its mother's breast. It's not clamoring for anything, it's just resting. And God is patient, giving us today to make choices. Other choices that day presented to us was how the truth is, whatever we sow, this is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And so we have this choice of whether we sow to the flesh and reap corruption, reap what is corruptible, reap what will end, or we can sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life, not corruptible life, but eternal life, something that is never-ending. And not just never-ending as continuing where we are now, but something very different, eternal life, the abundant life, the Zoe that God, our Father, will give to us. Our choice from Romans chapter 6, verse 19, is that we can present ourselves either to impurity, slaves to impurity, or slaves to righteousness. And we have a choice there as well, and this will determine whether we grow into lawlessness or whether we grow into sanctification. It will grow depending on how we posture ourselves and what we give ourselves to. It will grow. Thankfully, this might apply to you as well, when I slip, when I'm negligent, when I deliberately choose to give myself to impurity, there is this way back in Jesus. Thankfully, I'm not locked into. It's not like one of these mortgages that the moment you say I'm locked into this way, or the moment you go a certain way, the moment the interest goes in a certain way, you're locked into it. It isn't like that. This is the day of salvation. This is a day that we can adjust over and over again. Today is the day of choices. And we can give ourselves to righteousness. We can choose from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. We can choose to add to our faith. We start with faith. Will we believe and repent? That was the opening preaching of Jesus. To repent and believe. But in that believing, in that faith, we can choose to add to it. We can add, in the list from Peter, goodness. And to our goodness, knowledge, and self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. And all of these things as we choose, if we choose, as we choose, as we go back and choose again and again and again, this will determine how much we can participate, to what extent we participate in the life of Christ, in the life that he has to give us. If we give ourselves increasingly in those ways, then the life of Christ increasingly is evident within us. It grows within us. Its evidence within us grows. And so our final choice of whether we live by the Spirit, whether we live being led by the Spirit, or whether we choose to be led by another spirit, the spirit of this world, well, this determines what fruit we bear in our lives. We're not like Christmas trees. Well, we can be like Christmas trees where we pick what we decorate ourselves with and we try and make ourselves look beautiful, whether we're cut off or whether we've been dug up and planted, however the Christmas tree that you choose, or whether it's just totally artificial right from the get-go, with all sorts of artificial things sort of put on top. Well, we can. I know I have done that. And I know that each one of us actually do that to one extent or another. But the truth is, regardless of what we choose to decorate ourselves with, we also bear fruit, whether we like it or not. If we don't like it, we can be quick to kind of nip these things off, but we are limited. You know, it seems that we can nip it in the bud and you know, we can nip the little fruits off, but eventually the fruit will display. Or we will be seen as something that is barren. But the truth is we're not barren. The truth is we're either bearing good fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I remember those six. I have to look at my notes for the next three. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things will grow in our lives, because this is the fruit of the Spirit. Well, those were the choices that Dave presented us with last week from Scripture. And, yeah. Today is a day we still need to make choices. We were talking in a little prayer meeting next door, and someone said something, actually it was Verena, she said a little bit in reference to the ladies' meeting yesterday, the ladies' brunch, where there was reporting back from the ladies' retreat. And I confess to the fact that I have a mole in the camp, my wife, who's next door at the moment, but, you know, I hear little snippets from her. And she shared a few of the things that were spoken of yesterday. Once or twice she mentioned names, but other times she didn't. But there was something that she said that that is very much in line with what Dave spoke about with us last week and what I believe God is still presenting us to us today about choices. I believe, and I might be misrepresenting some people, forgive me if I am, it was something like this. But Judy shared how two or three, I think, of our ladies shared how they have been on a daily basis, every day, presenting themselves to the Lord. One of them, I think, had said that, you know, she had felt that, you know, she's been trying so hard, or trying. I know the word trying came into it, but she'd been trying, and it was like she was trying so hard, but it wasn't working. And so on a daily basis, she was presenting herself to the Lord, not just for help in what she was trying to do, but simply to present herself to the Lord in faith, again and again, to commit herself to God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Our choice and how we can give ourselves to God. For me, as I heard Judy said, and she said it far better, I think, than I just said it, and probably what I've said is not quite at all like what was said yesterday, but that's where we're going to start from. This idea of presenting ourselves daily. It sums up two things. It sums up the nature of the problem that we face, or part of the problem that all humans face, but it also presents the solution as well. See, the problem that we all realize at one point or another in our lives is that what we decide to do, we are unable to do. And we kind of relegate, if that's the right word, our position from deciding what we are going to do to decide what we're going to try and do. That's a little bit closer to reality. But I'm not going to say I'm going to do this because I've tried over and over again and it hasn't happened. But I will say I'm going to try to do this. But one of the things that came out, as Judy shared with me, was how this one, or maybe a couple of ladies, were saying, you know, I've tried and tried and I realize I can't even do what I try to do. It's part of our problem. Because it isn't within a man or a woman to accomplish by our own efforts and works what we set out to do. It just isn't in the nature of a human being to be able to do that. We are creatures. We are created beings. We are not the creator. And we are created to serve another. Now, that doesn't fly well in the face of current world thinking. Maybe in some parts of the world it's okay to think that way, but that isn't how the world presents itself. The world says, hey, son, you can do whatever you want to do when you grow up. Hey, son, daughter, the world is your oyster. You can do anything you want to do. And it just isn't true. Just to show my age and where my sort of natural proclivities lie on, my natural tastes and tendencies, I would have loved to have been down at, I think it was GM Place the other night, because Bob Dylan was playing. Now, he's got some good points and bad points, but the only reason why I bring him up is because I think it would be around 1985 where he put together his first sort of gospel album, Slow Train Coming, and one of the songs that he put together was, You Gotta Serve Somebody. You Gotta Serve Somebody. And he went, I thought about sort of, you know, anyway, giving it to the sound desk. But it's not everyone's cup of tea, but it is the truth. And he went through the different people. And it doesn't matter whether you're the heavyweight champion of the world, it doesn't matter whether you're the president of the United States, you still gotta serve somebody. Because that's how we are created to be. We serve another. And it's only as we serve another that we actually can fulfill their purposes. And unfortunately, there's a fortunate side and an unfortunate side to that. Dave went through this last week. We either fulfill the purposes of him who is the prince of this world, or we serve the purposes of our God, who is the God of this world, and whom the kingdoms of this world are being made over to. But we serve another, and we display in our lives the purposes and the fruit of another. And it can get very frustrating when we're trying to do what we want to do, because ultimately we find out we can't do it. But the solution is to present ourselves to the God of this world, to present ourselves to the one who has provided for our redemption, provided for our freedom, to be set free from one slavery to our servanthood or our slavery to God, to be set free from slavery to sin and to be established in freedom, in slavery, in servanthood to our God. We present ourselves to God, believing in him, believing that he is the one who can help us in our situation. I don't want to read this passage because it's a very complicated passage and I don't want to get into expanding it. But if it's a great little passage to read because it sums up this predicament. Romans chapter 7 from 14, verse 14 through to kind of about halfway through chapter 8. It's a complicated passage. But besides anything else, what it presents there is Paul writes and says he presents this inability of what he wants to do. He doesn't end up doing that. But the very thing that he doesn't want to do, that's what he ends up doing. And right at the end of chapter 7 and then into chapter 8, he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me? Thanks be to God, Christ Jesus. And there is this solution, this setting ourselves free from this predicament. The solution of presenting ourselves in faith to God through Christ Jesus so that the power of the life in the Holy Spirit can work in us. Now that's a very complicated set of verses. I won't turn there. Some of you have. I could hear the rustling. But a far more simple verse that says pretty much all of that is Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. There the writer of Hebrews says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus talking on prayer has something to say about those who seek. Those who seek, find. So this reward that the writer of Hebrews talks about, that God is a rewarder of those who seek him, that first and foremost reward is that those who seek him, find him and experience the joy of finding God, because he can be found. And he does change our lives. I've already touched on the sort of opposite of this verse, kind of, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things. Sounds like the father saying to his son, son, you can do anything you want to do. But it's markedly different. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. See, when we try on our own, we are unable to. Our own strength, it is impossible. There was a time when God said, actually, what man sets his heart to do, he can do. If you read in Genesis chapter 11, when all the people spoke the same language, they started building this tower, the Tower of Babel, to try and get up to heaven. And as God saw what they were doing and how they were planning to do it, he said, ooh, words to the effect of, ooh, I need to change this, because they can do whatever they set their heart to do. And he could see that what they were trying to do wasn't good. So he went down and confused the languages. That time of man being able to do what he wants to do, or to achieve the tasks, the desires that he wants to do, that time is gone. But in Christ, we can do all things through him who strengthens me. Luke 11, verses 1 to 4, Jesus talking about prayer. Part of that prayer, we spent, I think, sometime last year, or maybe it was right at the beginning of this year, looking at the Lord's Prayer. But part of that prayer was, give me today my daily bread. We need to be going to God on a daily basis. That is how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And that is how we need to pray on a daily basis. That is how we need to deal with this problem of our inability to do what we might set ourselves to do. We need to go on a daily basis, presenting ourselves to God, saying, Father, help me. I'm here I am, presenting myself as a living sacrifice to you. Help me. Father, I ask that you would, Father, in your grace and in your mercy, Lord, someone prayed out today how you do not treat us how we deserve. You don't treat us how our sins deserve. But Father, you have made this salvation where you do treat us in a way that is appropriate to your salvation. You treat us as your sons and daughters. You treat us as your beloved children. You treat us as those who are heirs of salvation, those who are your co-laborers. You treat us as your friends. You treat us, Father, like you love us, because you do. Father, you know the situation we find ourselves in this world, in the world but not of it. You know the provision that we need. Father, please will you settle increasingly in our hearts this turning to you for help, turning to you to work salvation in us on a daily basis. Father, to turn to you over and 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 over again. Father, please will you work in us that we might be found in you. Father, I ask in particular that you do this at this time as we're seeking your kingdom. Father, your word says that you have to be born again even to see your kingdom. But we want to live in it. We want to be part of extending your kingdom. Father, please will you draw us to live in your kingdom on a daily basis. Father, work salvation in us. I ask, Lord, you do this in Jesus' name. I'd like us to, that was by way of introduction. I would like us to turn to Mark chapter 4. A couple of little parables to do with the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 26. As I was praying and tussling with the Lord over what to share this week, I found myself almost phoning up Dave and saying, I think, Dave, you should preach the same sermon you did last week this week. Not simply because I was struggling to get words for myself to say, but because of the sense of how this idea of our making choices is critical. Our living in the kingdom of God is not just about this one choice of repenting and believing, but it's about an ongoing choice on a daily basis. I said earlier how, you know, there are times when I choose lawlessness instead of righteousness, and I need to make fresh choices over again and again and again. And it seems that the more I see of God, the more vision I have of who God is, the more I realize how much I need more of him if I'm going to be like him, because I am not like him. As I was reading yesterday, I prayed it out this morning, it struck me of how God is a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. And, I mean, I prayed that out many times, but it was like, it just spoke to me of how very different he is to us. His capacity, his ability is so different. We cannot live without sleep for more than, I don't know, sensibly 3 or 4 days. Insensibly a week. Incoherently a bit more than a week. And just as an imbecile, or I don't know what the wrong word or the right word would be, but it just doesn't work, and yet God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He is our ever-present help in time of need. And I know that as we cross a border, that is where we meet the border guards. And that is where we meet the border guards of the nation or the kingdom that we're coming out of and the kingdom that we're going into. And they want to just check who's going where. It's not very apparent when we leave this country that we're being checked that we leave. But at the very least, they're taking a note of your number plate and who's in your car. And these days, maybe a little bit more than that. Because they want to know who's going out. Canada has its reasons for it. Satan has his reasons for it, for your destruction and mine. And he doesn't have the same resources as God, but he checks up on who's going out, and he wants to stop people going out. And God is there at the border wanting to draw people in. Jesus came into the border country of the land of the living, to draw people out of darkness into light, into his kingdom. See, as Christians, we don't necessarily live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where the rule of God applies. It's where we do what the king says. So when I became a Christian and said, Lord, I believe. And there's bits of debate, and we could get into that as to whether that's when you really become a Christian. But it's very clear that with our confession of faith, something hugely significant happens. But when we step out of darkness into light, we're not necessarily stepping into or under the rule of God. Dave has talked many times. Let's pick on Dave. I could pick on myself. Let's pick on Dave. Dave has talked many times of how after becoming a Christian, he still had to deal with his tongue. Yeah? And all the not so, in fact, all the very bad stuff that came out. And many of us can relate to that sort of thing or worse. It's because, yes, we've been born again, and yes, we've entered the family of God, but are we under the rule of God? Are we in the kingdom of God? We're not necessarily, but we can be. Jesus talking to Nicodemus, John chapter 4, I prayed this, talking about being born again. He said, unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Before you're even born again, I remember reading the Bible. I remember my friend telling me about salvation, telling me about how to be saved. And he talked about sin. It made no sense to me. I do understand why it made no sense. It was because I didn't have the Spirit of God that tells me what the words of God actually mean. I had this information coming, but it meant nothing to me. It was a foreign language. It was the language of the kingdom of God. And it meant nothing to me. It was only after I had been born again, and actually maybe a year or two down the line, that I began to think, oh, I'm beginning to get this thing called sin, and I don't like it, and I see it in me. But at least I understand what it is. I didn't used to understand what it is. Now I do. So there's this tussle at the border. And right now, as a fellowship, we are looking to engage more fully and completely in the kingdom of God under the rule of the king. That's why we're preaching about it. We're at the borderline as a fellowship. There are many of us, I expect, who live pretty solidly in the kingdom of God. Just the occasional foray back out and back in. And Lord, forgive me for doing what I just did. Not, you know, that didn't matter, but that little foray that we do occasionally. But we're at the borderline, and it's a place where the battle rages. That's part of the reason why some of the ladies yesterday said something along the lines of, I've already talked about this, honey, I've misrepresented you already, so don't worry. Something along the lines of, I'm coming to you today, Lord, because I need your help. Because they understood something about how difficult it is to live in the kingdom. Today, I'm looking for your help, Lord, because I just can't do it. Please, will you help me? Please, will you give me my daily bread, the bread of the kingdom of God, real food that I can live in the kingdom. Give it me today, my provision today. Okay, you've had your finger in Mark chapter 4 for a while. But it's the day of venturing into the kingdom as a fellowship. Many of us already there. Some of us, it's brand new to think that the kingdom isn't the same as the church. But it isn't. The church can live in the kingdom. But sometimes the church takes a wild left turn and gets hung up on things like dancing with rattlesnakes and passing those around the congregation. You know? Thankfully, we haven't gone there, but we have done some other things on occasion. And thank the Lord that he gives us opportunity to come away from those things and back into his rule. Mark chapter 4. And I don't have an awful lot to say from these parables. Chapter 4, verse 26. And he, Jesus, was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How? He himself doesn't know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, sends forth the sickle, because the harvest has come." Just want to say a few little bits from this parable. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. It's God's kingdom. It's God's world. It's God's field. It's God's seed. It's God's word. He is the one who plants and sows. And we go to bed at night and get up by the day. God's different to us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't need to slumber. Psalm 127, verses 1 to 2. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of toils. For he gives to his beloved sleep." Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber." There is a place for us to just rest and get on with resting when it's the time to rest. And during the day, get up and work. Our struggles and our striving for the kingdom of God will not cause the seed to grow more quickly. But there is a place, of course, just for those of us who like to get up in the night and spend time with the Lord. I just want to sort of redress the balance. Psalm 134, verse 1. "Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." If you're up at night, you're up with God, because he's not asleep. It's a good time to be up in his presence. But it is this point that the farmer just goes to bed at night, gets up in the morning, and one day looks out, and the blade, the seed, sprouts up and grows. How? He himself doesn't know. See, I'm talking something about the kingdom of God today. Another day I might preach something about salvation. I know how it works. But also, in the little bit of knowledge I have, I'm aware that I have no idea how it works. It's just that God works it. The more I know, the more I realize I don't know. I read a beautiful verse yesterday that, anyways, it just, when I became a Christian, there was a certain idea that I had, and I'm not going to go into it because it's too much of a rabbit trail, but a certain idea I had about how God was and how my life didn't make sense unless something. And I read this verse that just described what I was thinking exactly. I'd read it many times. I'd never noticed it before, but it was like God just gave me another little bit of insight about how it works. But actually, it raised even more questions. I just had one question before I became a Christian, but I read this verse yesterday, and now it's like, oh my. See, the kingdom of God grows. The questions we have grow. How the kingdom grows, how the seed sprouts up and grows, we don't know. The soil produces crops by itself, and this is what I want to say a little bit about. First, the blade. That's just the little spike, the little green bit that comes through first, okay? Then the head, so the grain begins, you know, within the little sort of blade, the head begins to form. And you can see it plump and fat through the grass. but eventually the mature grain in the head. See, we're at the beginning of something as a fellowship looking into the kingdom. We are at the stage where it's like the blade is just coming up, very sensitive. You know, I think of when I used to run a sort of little vegetable plot back in England, a couple of us had an allotment, we grew vegetables. Dave did it all the time growing up, and some of you have. But I see my little kids, not so much now, the youngest 13, but when they were younger, they'd grow a little few seeds in a little styrofoam pot, and the blade would first appear. And you know what? It's a very exciting time. You know, for kids, it's like every day they go, oh, there's nothing there. And they want to see, they want to dig it up. But it's a very sensitive time. We need to just leave it alone and yet not treat it lightly. It's a crucial time. But it's a time when kids say, but nothing's happening. Shh. Oh, I can see some roots. Oh, they're broken. Okay? And it never happens. See, it's a time of testing. Will we believe it's going to grow? And will we do what we need to do, which is to back off and let it grow? Or will we just rummage around and sort of say, is it growing in you, Dave? It's not growing in me. Is it in you? I haven't... Oh, there's a little bit springing up over there. I've noticed that when it starts springing up, the kids aren't so interested. For a few days they are, but then it just looks like the same it did the day before. Jordan's nodding his head. This is my experience in my family. Maybe it's different in yours, but all my kids would be nodding their heads. And it's the time when we stop watering it. Because it's boring now. It's just the same as it was yesterday. But we need to go back and present ourselves day after day. Lord, I don't see much change, but I believe in your word. Because you have said not a single word that you speak out comes back to you void without it accomplishing what you set it out to do. I've tried to make it happen. And that's why I'm coming to you, because it's never worked. But I'm coming to you. Please will you help me come to you again and again and again, especially in these vulnerable times as the blade is just appearing. And then the head appears. It's exciting. You see the little whatever they are. I had a very... Okay, I've got to say, this is a little bit offline, but 2 years ago, I planted an apple tree. You've heard me say about the apple tree I planted. Jude's and I were given a kind gift from Aidan and Allison, and we bought an apple tree from Garden Works. And we went and bought a very specific apple tree. We brought a Bramley's apple tree. Okay, they're not so popular out here, but they're cooking apples. They're really sour, but they taste great, and they taste like apples, not wood. Okay, which some apples do when you cook them in a pie. First year, the blossoms appeared, and they all fell off. Now, the Bramley apple tree, it's a triploid. It's one, but it needs two other different apple trees around. Some apple trees, they're the pippins, they don't need any other apple tree. They're self-fertilizing. Most apple trees, they need two, itself and another one. Bramley needs three, okay? It's a tricky tree. But this year, the blossoms came. It's only a little tree. It couldn't sort of carry much, didn't want it to carry much, especially Bramley apples, which can grow to be about this big. And so I harvested 9 apples this year. But it was so disappointing because I went to peel to make the first apple pie. I thought, I'm just going to taste it. It's going to be so sour. And it wasn't. It wasn't a Bramley apple tree. It was something else. Garden Works labeled it as a Bramley, but it isn't a Bramley. But it is a good eating apple, and we enjoyed eating them. And then, thanks be to God, through Judy Balm, we discovered a place out at Langley that sells Bramley apples. And we bought 80 pounds of them. Okay. And we've given some away. And the apple pies taste so good. Anyways. It's exciting when the head appears. But that isn't the end that we're after. It's when the mature grain is in the head. What makes it mature? It's mature, ready to die and be planted again and make more. Don't dismiss the blade. Don't dismiss these days of wonder. It's a delicate time. It's a day of choices yet again. Dave, I have to say, I thought you were brilliant last week. You know, I mean, see, if I don't say that every time he preaches now, he'll be tempted that, well, yeah, it was an opportune time. Anyways, we know. But it's a day of choices. Today is a day of choices. Come, now is the time to choose. And it's every day as the Lord tarries. The day will come when it's all wrapped up and we'll have different choices, I expect. But today is a day where we have to make choices. And if we don't make choices, well, that in itself is unfortunately a choice by default. See, if we're not getting our daily bread from our wonderful God who provides and will provide and does provide our daily bread, then where are we getting it from? And what are we eating? And what are we feeding on? The unfortunate thing is, whatever we're feeding on, it will bear fruit in our lives. Oh, the ladies, thank you so much yesterday. That we can ask, present ourselves to God on a daily basis. I'm going to pray in a second. You can join with me if you like. But I would like to pray that God would help us to seek Him, to seek the kingdom, to seek first the kingdom on a daily basis, to seek that we might be led by the Spirit, to seek to respond to the Spirit, to seek that we might do this first in our lives, and that we might seek from Him patience and perseverance. Patience that we don't dig up the blade. Perseverance that we water it regularly. That we might share in the wonder of it bearing fruit. Father, I thank you for your provision for us. I thank you that you have done a wonderful salvation. I thank you that you're the God who says that you've begun a good work in us and you continue it to completion to the day of the Lord. That you are faithful. That you are not negligent in your responsibility. You are the one. It's according to your will that we've been born again. It's not out of the will of flesh. It's not out of my will. But it's out of your will that we have been born again. Lord, you've said it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom as we seek it. Father, I ask, we present ourselves to you and ask that you would help us to draw upon you, to hide ourselves in Christ in God. Lord, that you can do your work, that you can increase your kingdom. Lord, I ask that you would work in us, that we would bear one another and bear with one another, that we would help and encourage one another. Father, we would look to feed one another and be fed by one another. Father, I ask that you do this for our great benefit and our enjoyment and our satisfaction. But above all, Father, that you would do this to glorify your Son, Jesus. It is all about him. We love him because you have loved us. Please will you help us, Lord. We ask that you do this by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Present ourselves to him, as Charlie said.